Yikes! Emerging markets! What's going on out there? From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics, and it's a sea of red, red, and more red if you're looking out at emerging markets this morning. With numbers like negative 2%, not a pretty picture. To help explain what's going on, we called up the BBC's John Sudworth in Shanghai. Good morning.
Good morning, Lizzie.
So we look at these great big moves, 2% down, more than 2% down in Tokyo and Hong Kong, the worst start to an emerging markets year in 5 years. What's going on, and really, why is this happening?
Well, you're right, Lizzie. It's been a pretty gloomy start to 2014. And I suppose to sum it up in a nutshell, two reasons, less Fed and less China. I think in particular, it's the less China that we should focus on here, particularly given that I'm sitting in Shanghai. And the real worry is that Chinese growth is slowing. And that's why many analysts believe we're seeing this sea of red across the trading boards.
There are some other things that are going on in the global economy in Turkey, in Argentina, in Thailand, but the China question is the one that endures when you look out over the next year, the next few years. Do we have a sense of how transparent China's being about where growth is going for the next year or two?
Well, there are real worries about it. Many people questioning the very data that China uses. The worry is that if China can't pull off this transition that it needs to go through in rebalancing its economy, then that will be very, very bad news indeed. So I think what we're seeing is the markets just pondering and mulling over the possibility and pricing some of it in to today's figures and prices on the stock markets.
The BBC's John Sudworth from Shanghai. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Lizzie.
Just over 3 years ago, a Tunisian street vendor set himself on fire, kicking off the Arab Spring. Much of the revolution had its roots in economic instability, and this weekend Tunisia adopted a new, more progressive constitution. So we're taking a look at the economic challenges it's still facing as it rebuilds. Here's Marketplace's David Weinberg.
The political instability in Tunisia has no doubt hurt the economy. Tourism, which makes up 12% of GDP, was especially hard hit. But the adoption of the new constitution could assure foreign investors and tourists that it's safe to come to Tunisia.
And on the other hand, it's going to also to reassure and to give confidence to local companies and the local economy. However, this is not probably going to be enough.
Ricardo Fabiani is the lead North African analyst with the Eurasia Group. One of Tunisia's biggest problems prior to the revolution was corruption and cronyism. The good news, says World Bank economist Jean-Luc Bernasconi, many of these corrupt officials have been removed from power.
Now, these cronies are gone, but the barriers and the regulation are still there, and are still somewhat of a structural problem for the private sector.
Bernasconi says the new government will have to create policy reforms to solve these larger structural problems. But Tunisia's slow economic growth is also the result of weak European economies, something the new government can't control. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
Attention latte lovers and espresso enthusiasts, your favorite cold weather beverage is getting cheaper. Coffee prices are at a 6.5-year low. Great news, right? Eh, maybe not. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has the story.
In a waterfront warehouse in Brooklyn's Red Hook neighborhood, Ed Kaufman shows me the coffee roaster. It looks like a big stainless steel washing machine. Through a small window, you can see cream-colored beans being roasted to a deep brown.
We had coffees from Central America and Ethiopia, and now we're kind of transitioning into Papua New Guinea.
Kaufman is the director of roasting for Joe, a chain of specialty coffee shops. Coffee is the second most traded commodity in the world after oil, and the price of coffee beans has been on a wild ride. In 2011, coffee prices hit an expensive $3 a pound. Since then, the price has dropped to less than half that.
We can't really fluctuate our prices with the fluctuations of the market. Coffee drinkers are very sensitive to increase in prices.
When prices rise, Joe tightens its belt, cutting back on staffing and travel. When prices drop, staffing and travel get beefed up, and Joe can use fancier beans. But when prices drop this much, it sets us up for another spike, says Ross Colbert, a global strategist at Rabobank.
Coffee prices are now at such a low level that farmers are losing money. And the risk here is that farmers will replace coffee with other crops,
which could create a shortage of coffee. Add speculators and a global market into the mix, and the price fluctuations for commodities like coffee become even more extreme, says Andrew Burns, an economist at the World Bank.
Price rises, so the farmers say, oh, I'm going to go and plant a lot of that crop. Supply increases substantially, and rather than the price falling to that equilibrium position, it actually falls way past it.
To cope with these wild swings, Joe's Ed Kaufman is working on drawing up contracts with growers.
We're hopefully going to be able to lock in prices and work outside of the fluctuating market.
Kaufman hopes the contracts will mean the price is right for him to get the quality beans he needs and for farmers to earn enough to keep our cups full. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Listen to this one weird story and you won't believe what happens next. All right, if you're sick of viral internet speak headlines like that, a programmer named Snipe created a plugin called Downworthy that translates them to normal English. Like, yeah, you'll probably believe that story. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.